Today, the glory is on the love of God. I want to turn this morning to the 11th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 11. We will begin reading with verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father bears the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? I want to speak for a little while on the burden of a father. As we read in verses 11 and 12, You lay the burden of all this people on me. You tell me to carry them as a nursing father. The context of this portion centers around the fact that the people had been murmuring and complaining because all they had to eat was this manna. They wanted some meat. They did not consider the tremendous blessings that God had poured out upon them, even in the wilderness, one miracle right after another that He had wrought among them. And we read here that God was certainly his anger greatly kindled against them, and Moses was displeased. And so this morning, I want to notice that this prayer that Moses prayed unto the Lord actually presents a five-point definition of a father's responsibility. And we see that responsibility, we see those wonderful points, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And so we find it here, beginning in verse 12, as Moses says, "Have I conceived all this people?" The first point is that a father begets children. Number two, he asks, "Am I to carry them?" That tells us of the protection and the comfort that a father is to provide. Number three is in my bosom. It tells us of that which is motivated by divine love, that which is close to the heart. Must I nurse them? Number four tells us that a father is charged with feeding his children. And number five, all the way to the promised land, you want me to take them to this place that you swore unto their fathers. It tells us that a father must provide the direction to the promised land, the direction and the leadership into the things of God. The Apostle Paul follows exactly this same glorious pattern, both in practice, and then he conveys those same attributes of a father for our own instruction. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Again, we see these same wonderful things that the Apostle Paul brings forth. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me." And so we notice these same elements that Moses brought forth, as the Apostle Paul speaks of the fact that he had begotten these through the gospel. He was indeed a father to them, and they were beloved sons. Paul was motivated by divine love, even as we see in the Old Testament. In verse 15, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have that many fathers. A father operates from a different point of view, a different motivation. And then as we read here, "I beseech you, be you followers of me." The Apostle Paul set the example as to the direction wherein he took these people. Paul brings forth these same glorious truths in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Now the hearers are at two different ends of the spectrum, so to speak. The Corinthian saints were very much like those in Moses' time. They were as carnal and fleshly as they can be, and yet Paul still had that same tremendous love and affection and concern for them, and tried his best to lead them in the right direction. Here in the 20th chapter of Acts, he has called the elders of Ephesus unto him. And the assembly at Ephesus was actually a spiritual assembly. They had really grown in grace and the knowledge of Christ Jesus. But Paul also gives them some wonderful instruction concerning fatherhood, so to speak. He follows the same pattern here, giving them a living example of a father, even as Moses did. He really did live the gospel before them. And so in the 20th chapter of Acts in verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons," or at all times. He means every situation, every particular thing concerning life, I have been with you. I have been concerned about you and demonstrated before you the gospel. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears, temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And so he was a man who continually held the gospel before them. This is what is so very important to understand here. Paul is not putting himself on a pedestal. He is not trying to gain his own following. He is not trying to get them to heap all sorts of honor on him. He is telling them, "I have set the living gospel before you." And this is exactly, as we're going to discover, this is exactly what a father must do. He has to live the gospel indeed before his children, to those that he is ministering to. He is indeed, must be, a father and not just an instructor. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. You may have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. Fathers impart the message by the example of their lives, as much or even more than the so-called lectures that they might give. As we go down to verse 28, the Apostle Paul, well, let's really read verse 27, because this is so important for any father today. "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." This was a real spiritual father. He did the same thing insofar as the Corinthians were concerned. And I want to pick up our message here with verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." This is absolutely imperative for any father. Paul set the example before them, because he took all of these things unto his own heart that we're going to see. He took all of this, as we see in Moses' message, took that to apply it to his own life, and he became the living example of a father demonstrating the gospel. And so he says here in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Any father, if he is going to be the father that God intended, he has to take heed unto himself first. These former verses tell us that Paul had done that, and that he had demonstrated these wonderful things before them. So take heed unto yourself, and then take heed to the flock. We will examine these things here in just a moment, but I want to say this at the outset. A father has the responsibility of giving out truth and setting the example of truth, whether we're talking about a spiritual follower or father or a natural one. The principles are exactly the same. He must take heed unto himself first, and then to all the flock, as the apostle says here. I spoke with a father just a few years ago, a very good father, a very godly father in my opinion, who had raised his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But he related the fact that he had been sitting in his living room with his firstborn after that young man had come into adulthood, gone out his own way, began to do his own thing, so to speak. And he was telling his dad all of these things that he had learned, and he had gone out and he had discovered all of these tremendous things that he thought were such an advantage to him. And his father told me, he said, I looked at him and I wondered, did this kid grow up in my house? And how many fathers have had exactly the same experience? It's the same way whether you're talking about spiritual children, natural children. There comes a day when they can and they will and they do make their own choices and decisions, and we can't do anything about that. We can try to instruct them. We can try to influence them as long as we have that power, but they have to make the choice. And so it is here we must realize that as fathers, our responsibility ends with indeed giving the instruction, providing the example, and leave the results and all the rest of it indeed unto the Lord. We might call this, as I thought on it a number of times over the years, Paul's instruction here to the Ephesian elders might be called Paul's last charge to the church. But in light of Father's Day, in light of this message, I want to notice these things here are really a father's last charge to his sons and daughters. And so we see, I say once again, the elements of Moses' definition of fatherhood in these verses. There is a tremendous likeness unto them. And so in verse 28, as we see, they are to take heed unto themselves, but here is what they are to pass along to others. That is, they are to take heed unto the flock. This is the glorious truth that Moses brought forth when he said, am I to bear these in my bosom? Am I to carry them in my bosom? That really is a reference to sheep and to a shepherd. If you look at Moses' life, he was a shepherd when God called him. And now he's doing exactly the same thing. You will find this analogy over and over in the Scripture. God taught many men to lead men by first leading the sheep. It's because they are so parallel to one another in a great number of ways. And so take heed to the flock. It means that you must indeed look upon this flock as something special, something that is close to your heart. As Moses said, am I to carry them in my bosom, carry them next to my heart. And so we read here, take heed unto all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And in that one little statement, we find these glorious elements that we had over there in the 11th chapter of Numbers. And so we see the shepherd. And then you will notice again the tremendous importance that he talks about as far as this flock is concerned, which he has purchased with his own blood. We know that Jesus used this same analogy and this same closeness that we are talking about. Moses said to bear him in my bosom. Jesus spoke of carrying this little sheep on his shoulder and bringing him back unto the fold. And we find the same thing is so expressive to us, that every under shepherd, every pastor has to learn from the chief shepherd. And that means that these sheep have to take a priority as to how much they are worth. And Jesus thought that the worth was so much, he shed his own precious blood on the cross of Calvary for them. This is what every pastor, every shepherd, every father must realize, is the value of this flock in the eyes of God because of the tremendous price that he's paid for them. He can never take them for granted. He can never pass them off as being unimportant. They must take priority as to that which is occupying his heart. And so he does carry them exactly as Moses said, in my bosom. Then we find here that he is to be, as we see, an overseer. That word overseer means to be a sentry or a scout. It means literally to beware. It brings out that quality of every father, that he has to be a protector. He has to be a guard over that which God has given unto him. And so, as Moses carried these children in his bosom, we likewise must have that place, every father taking the place of a protector, of a comforter unto his children. Then Paul said to feed the flock of God. That word also means to tend as a shepherd. Moses spoke of nursing them as a father, a sucking child. It tells us today that every father is charged with feeding his children. That is true in the natural, and that is absolutely imperative in the spiritual. This is what has been so neglected in the church as a whole today. There are so many that are putting in so much time with various programs in order to give people what they desire, but how many are really feeding the sheep? This is what God said. This is the number one priority, is feeding the sheep, digging into the depths of God's Word so that they might grow up into Christ in all things. And so feed the flock of God. I think this has just been so neglected in the church as a whole today. And then the fourth one, you'll notice in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Moses, do I have to carry these people all the way to the land of promise? Paul tells us and gives us instruction in exactly the same thing. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This is the message that every father has to learn. It's the grace that God pours into his life. It's the same grace he is able to pour out into the lives of his children, and indeed to instruct them, as it were, all the way to the promised land. That's what God intends. This was his purpose for Moses at that time. And so it is still his purpose today that fathers must lead in these same spiritual things. I've always loved that portion that Joshua put the choice before the people. And then he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the kind of leadership that every father has to have if he's going to be the successful father that God intended him to be. And then, as we close this message, I want to notice the spirit of a father. Paul said once again, you may have 10,000 instructors, but you have not many fathers. Verses 33 to 35 give us a beautiful insight into the spirit of a father. Paul was such a father. He set that demonstration and pattern before them. And we will see the same thing also in the life of Moses. Verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. To them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. The spirit of a father is the spirit of sacrifice. We have seen it. We have testified of it. This same man who is a father must also be a husband who sacrifices for his wife exactly the way that Jesus sacrificed for the church. Now we see him sacrificing for the children. It's exactly the same spirit. And so there are so many that have learned this, and indeed we must learn this. I call attention to what Moses said once again in our opening text, asking God, have I conceived all his people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father bears the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? The answer to all of those questions is yes. This is exactly what God intended. And we find out that Moses actually already had that wonderful spirit of sacrifice. Listen to him there in the mountain right after they came out of the land of Egypt, and Israel was down at the foot of that mountain sacrificing under the golden calf, bowing down before it. Moses was up in the mountain interceding for those same people. Listen to the sacrifice he was willing to make. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. He was willing to sacrifice himself for those people. Every father has to be willing to sacrifice himself for the good of those under him. And the Apostle Paul sets forth that same example, and he proved it again and again and again. And so he had that spirit of sacrifice for the flock of God, and I say again, all fathers who are going to live up to these definitions, this five-point outline of a father, we all have to have the spirit of sacrifice where we consider the needs of our wives and our children much more important than we do our own needs. This is the way to be a successful father. And both Moses and Paul proved that the outcome is absolutely marvelous.